Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities. OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, a lot changed. We apparently have a new president, but the rest of the down-ticket elections didn't go exactly the way many expected. In fact, we now have a record number of pro-life women entering into both the Senate and the House. Now, how did that happen? Joining us to answer that question, among others, Marjorie Dannenfelser. She's president of the Susan B. Anthony List, a national pro-life organization, and she's author of the new book, Life is Winning. Marjorie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here again. Thanks.
How do you explain the pro-life gains in the U.S. House?
It's the federal entity closest to the will of the people. They have to be elected every 2 years, so each congressman or congresswoman is really affected by what's happening in their districts all over the country. So the fact that there was a great blue wave predicted in the House, and in fact the opposite happened, there was an almost overwhelming wave, but just shy of it in the House, with a record number of pro-life women, number one, but also Republicans who are pro-life in the House, to the point where we look to be, perhaps, when all the races are called, about 9 seats away from overtaking the House. Just to extend that just a little bit further, when we look at the next election, historically, everyone, all the prognosticators, who are not always right, but in this case, I think because of the nature of the House, it's very likely that we will take over the House next election cycle when we have a president in the opposite party leading in the way that he does, and reaction in the House so closely aligned to what's happening on the ground. I think we're looking at a very strongly pro-life House rising up, which we maybe didn't expect.
Tell us about the pro-life wins in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, you know, that was another projected blue wave that did not occur. We have another pro-life woman in the Senate, Cynthia Lummis. We retained seats like Tom Tillis that he was expected by prognosticators and pollsters to lose. We were looking at a 6-point margin moving into the election. So the Senate, we're looking at now, all eyes are looking to Georgia. If we win those 2 seats in Georgia, which is a big if, the whole world is there, including all of our ground game shifted from the whole country into Georgia. If we win Georgia and those 2 seats that go along with it, then we will have a 52-48 margin in the Senate. So we're looking at a strong Senate where Mitch McConnell would still be in leadership, the leader of the party, and the House that is sharply divided. Now, if it goes the other way, if we lose the Senate, of course, then the dam breaks, and there is a lot coming down the pike that is not reflective of the will of the people that we have to watch out for. Not just watch out for, but frankly, be on the war path against.
Why are those Georgia Senate races so very important?
So those 2 will determine whether we have a working majority or not. If we get to 50-50 Republican and Democrat in the Senate, the tiebreaker is Kamala Harris. She would be the tiebreaker on every controversial vote. So Mitch McConnell could remain the leader of the Senate, but all the tiebreakers would come from Kamala Harris. So we know how that will work out. We'll lose every vote in the Senate. And what that means is that for the first time in history, the first time that I'm conscious of a capability of seismic shift in how just government works, we would see action in the Senate that would change the number of Supreme Court justices to overcome the gains that we have made and wash those out. To change first order would be to change the filibuster rule so that you couldn't filibuster any legislation, so that only a majority was required. And change the number of senators. Puerto Rico and D.C. could potentially be made states with senators representing them in the Senate, so that they lock down and lock out all the fears that they have, all that they've been communicating to their base. It means it wipes out every pro-life possibility, not only our possibilities, but ensures that we will be paying for an abortion and never, ever be able, I mean, I don't know, ever, but never for many, many, many years get to even close to overturning Roe versus Wade and protecting children in the law.
Which were the most significant wins for pro-life women in the House?
Well, what I'm excited about is that there were some really significant firsts all over the map in the House. And we went from having 11 pro-life women in the House, all Republicans, to now getting now to 28. So 11 new pro-life women, the biggest change in since ever in the House, certainly since Susan B. Anthony List has been trying to elect women. So that group of women is a diverse and just beautiful common voice for life and also other issues that we believe in. So Michelle Steele and Young Kim are two out of three of the first Korean-American women elected to Congress. That's Steele and Kim. Nancy Mace was the first woman to graduate from the Citadel in South Carolina. Diana Harshbarger is the only woman pharmacist in Congress. She'll have a lot to say about chemical abortions, a lot of the health care arguments that we're having, all sorts of things that really matter to women in terms of chemical abortions, related abortion items. There are a lot of immigrants and first-generation Americans. Maria Salazar is a successful journalist and the daughter of Cuban immigrants. And she unseated this really iconic, a lot of people don't remember, Democrat Donna Shalala, who was the head of HHS under Clinton so long ago, which is a real leftist. And she is unseated by a pro-life woman. Victoria Spartz was immigrated to America from Ukraine, which was socialist controlled. So they're all over the map, just a beautiful diversity of women with a common voice, and in numbers that are historic and really show where the direction of feminism is going, where the abortion center of it is falling out, thanks be to God.
What do we know about President-elect's agenda for life issues once he takes office?
Well, we know that he has decided that our funding, every abortion that is controlled by the government, which is enormous, he's good with that. He's good with, even if we object, we think it's the death of a person that we're going to be required to pay if he gets his way. Under Kamala Harris, she has committed to a Justice Department that would scrutinize every bill coming out of every state that was a pro-life protection and putting it through their own filter and without question challenging every single one. We know that they will take up where very strongly pro-life Trump left off, and every opportunity they have to start backfilling the courts with pro-abortion federal judges, they will do so without apology. They will definitely start on day one. He's already announced that they will roll back the Protecting Life Globally, what was formerly known as the Mexico City policy. That will be rolled back. So billions of dollars will now be pumped into exporting abortion from our country into other countries, whether they agree with it or not, undermining their sovereignty and also exporting something from this country that we are more and more objecting to, especially funded by a government entity. So, and the other pieces are sometimes less tangible in terms of a policy, just the watchdog nature that so many of our great policy heroes took at HHS with Secretary Azar, at State Department with Secretary Pompeo, at the White House, a thoroughgoing pro-life staff. that watchdog vigilant posture towards protecting life at every turn will not only be wiped out, it will be overcome by people who see this as just another medical procedure, just another appendectomy, and yet we know that it's the taking of a human life.
Will it be possible to block Biden's agenda for the next 2 years?
Only if we protect the Senate. Only if we win these two seats in Georgia. It's the only way. Otherwise, we have a lot of pain and suffering coming towards us. So really, all eyes are on Georgia. When you look at it, it really is all the nation's eyes and around the world looking for the leadership in Georgia to whether we have a pro-life leadership in the country and around the world.
Given the fact that President Biden must realize that he's likely to lose either the House or the Senate, or his party's likely to lose either the House or the Senate in 2022, do you expect him to go full bore if he does control the Senate for the next 2 years to get all of his agenda items in before he loses the Senate?
Yes, and to further answer your previous question, there's nothing we can do to stop his executive orders or his overturning of pro-life executive orders. There may be some extra legal work that he attempts to put into play through illegal executive orders, and we can challenge those. But it's rough if you've got no advocacy in the Senate. And if you are, and right now, of course, we don't control the House. We're just close. It's perhaps a more moderate House. I think all eyes should be towards, honestly, this one backstop, which would be these two extra senators in Georgia, and looking towards the next election to make sure that we take over the House, which I think is very possible. Nothing is inevitable, but I think we can do it.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is president of the Susan B. Anthony List, a national pro-life organization, and author of the new book, Life is Winning. You can purchase this book and find out more about the Susan B. Anthony List at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Marjorie, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for all that you do.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas.
Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.